Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, Merry Christmas to everybody. And in that, I've been praying, and what the Lord gave me for tonight is something that I'm just going to kind of put us in remembrance of some things, because it is Christmas time. And it's supposed to be, you know, the most wonderful time of the year, but for some people, it's not the most wonderful time of year. For some people, they're remembering things that were sad to them. It was a sad time of year to them. Maybe they had a loved one that died, or maybe, you know, they're not able to get the things to their children that they want, or, you know, just different things in life that people face. It brings up old memories. You know, maybe it's a relative that they have to go see, you know, and it's not real comfortable. Many of us will do that this year. You know, you'll have relatives that maybe come to your house. Well, you can help out a little bit of that. You know, I like to, you know, you just play a little soft worship. Doesn't have to be loud. Put a little worship in the background, you know. Do something to help the environment, amen. If it's in your house, you could do that, right? Or get those, you know, Christmas carols going. Get people in that thing. Because what we have to do as believers, we've got to love people to that next place in God. Amen? Whether they need to be saved, whether they need to be filled with the Spirit. It's not about pushing on them, but it's about loving them. And that's how Jesus operated. He walked in love. Because I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what's really the answer? I mean, you know, when people have those things, yes, we have to take our thoughts captive. We have to do those things. That's one answer, you know. Keep our thoughts in mind. But this is a time of year that a lot of people face. And they're saying, man, I just, you know, they don't know what to do. You know, they're hurting on the inside. They find it difficult to speak with other people, maybe, you know, and you're going to run into some of those people. So let's be a little bit more mindful, is what I feel like the Lord's saying, to walk in the love of God. You know, we know that love is patient, love is kind. Let the fruit of the Spirit operate. We talk about it all the time, but in these situations, it may be a little bit different. Maybe you're traveling, maybe you're a little more tired than you normally are. You know, maybe some of these people are more tired than they normally are. Maybe they're not their self that day. Maybe that memory came and flooded them and they're crying. They don't know why, you know, but you're available. Amen. If they ask you, you know, I don't necessarily preach to all my family members because I'm trying to just love them. I'm trying to be a brother. I'm trying to be a son. I'm trying to be I'm not a father, but an uncle to the kids, you know, or whatever you are. So it just came to my mind, and it's been, the Lord brought it to my mind. Really, I didn't really think of it, but he said, you know, this time of year is a time of struggle for many. Maybe they don't have as much, maybe there's a family member that's in the hospital, or maybe they're even, you know, facing bankruptcy, or they lost their business, you know, and they're trying to be happy, but these thoughts start coming to them. You know, they remember when, you know, somebody in their family maybe passed away. There's going to be an empty plate at the table this year. You know, and so let's take those things. What I feel the Lord saying is, take those things into consideration. Think about it. Think about somebody else. Think about yourself. What comes to my mind? You know, yeah, many of us have great memories, wonderful Christmas times, but there's also times of tragedy. People, you know, a lot of things seem to happen around that Christmas time. People want to drink more alcohol, try to numb the pain. They got time off work, and they don't know what to do with themselves. They're not really sure. But when we know Jesus, He is the Master. And when we know love, love conquers all. The Bible says that love, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, love never fails, never fails. Love doesn't fail ever. You see, in my family, sometimes people, it seems like every time we get together, we get around people in the family, and somebody, not necessarily me, but somebody in the family, kind of gets upset. You know, it might be me. It was my turn last time. Don't tell them that. But no, it's just I misunderstood what they had said. And I got a little upset, you know. Well, that's not even true, you know. We can argue in our family and love each other. So I don't know. You know, some families are loud, but other families, it's not that way. You know, so, and then people, you know, in your marriage, you're trying to decide where you're going. Are we going to her parents or his parents, you know. And don't make it an argument. Amen. But I'm not teaching on marriage tonight, but we're talking about that God is interested in that love and that life shining out of us. There was something in Jesus that drew men to him. I mean, think about it. His words, they said, he teaches as one having authority. Well, they didn't just say that because the other people had authority. They were the ones teaching. He was one of the preachers of the day. But it was different. Why? I believe the reason, obviously, he had the new nature, you know, but he was a man just like you and I. So why was it different? Why was it different when Jesus said something? I believe it's because he operated in the love of the Father. He knew that the Father. He understood that love. He allowed the love that had been shed abroad in his heart to be poured forth. Many times Jesus was moved by compassion. Compassion is what? That love and that wanting to do something about the situation. That compassion that compelled him. The Bible says it's the compassion of God that compels us to go forth to reach others for God. To lay down our lives. It's the love of the Father. And the Bible says in John, we'll go there right now. Let's go to John, I think it's 13, 34, yeah. I was going to look there, but I'm not going to. Anyway, I'm talking a little bit about love tonight. I'm just putting us in remembrance, really, of what the Father has said, what Jesus said here. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Whew. Hallelujah. As he has loved you. I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, most of us know what love is. We could go to 1 Corinthians. We may get there. But I want us to see, as he loved us, what did Jesus do? He laid down his life for all men. His life became God's. He says, whatever I see the Father do, whatever I hear him say, that's what I'm going to do. You know, Jesus went to a celebration. You know, he did his first miracle there because Mary pressed him, I guess. And the Father allowed that and brought it forth when he turned the water into wine. She says, hey, we can't be embarrassed, Jesus. Do something. Whatever he says, Mr. Disciples, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, he can do it. She knew something was different about her son. People know something's different about you, especially when there's love one to another. When they see it in your family, maybe it's your brothers and sisters, your family reaches the other part of your family. Hallelujah. Which maybe they don't love Jesus so much. But they see that love. And I believe love drew them. When he talked to his disciples, he said, come follow me. There had to be something in those words, some kind of an authority that backed those words up. Who drops their business? These were fishermen. That was their business. Come follow me. Okay. You know, they just left their boats. It says they just left. They just began to walk with him. You know, and they found out, you know, something about his sayings. I'm sure he said more to them as they came to follow him, which we know he did teach them. But that day, it was, come follow me. He'd spent time in the presence of the God of love. He prayed all night, the Bible says, and he went out. And he called, what, Peter and John? James? You know, Nathaniel was found. But he was found. They went out, and Jesus said, come follow me. when we follow him, when we've received him, we know, Romans 5:8 says that the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So we can't say, I can't love that person. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. No, I don't. But God does. God does. Love forgives. Love forgives. I don't know why I'm on that right now. But love forgives. Sometimes that's not the easiest thing. But I don't feel like loving. Most of the time I don't. Sometimes I don't feel like going to work. Amen. Come on now. You know. I don't feel like being kind to my boss. I want to tell him something. Love can be a choice. And most of the time it is. When it's not easy to love, that's when we are to love. So when they get upset with you, we love in return. Amen. We don't talk sharply back. You know, somebody here tonight, maybe you had a little spat with your husband or wife. Nah, not before church. I didn't, but it could happen. It has happened. We've learned, amen, to take authority over the enemy on those times. Before that time, that's what I'm getting at today, is let's be more sensitive to our spirit, even than we normally are. More sensitive to other people than we normally are. We don't know where they are. Unless God shows us, you know. But love never fails. Okay. Praise you, Father. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Love does not fail us. Love cannot fail. And yes, we know that God is love, but that love is on the inside of us if we're born again. And that love will dictate to us. It will speak to us. It will guide us. We'll say, oh no, don't say that. Sometimes silence can be a real blessing. You know, if there's something you feel the Lord wants you to say to that person, pray about that. Think about it first. You know, you can always tell them later. You know, really. Even if you're pretty sure, hey, I think I'm supposed to really share Jesus with them, and you know you are. Is it the time? Is it right now? Father, are you telling me that right now? I know I've been praying for him, and there may be opportunity. We want you to share Jesus. If that opportunity comes, and they're asking you, and you have opportunity, of course we're going to share the love of Jesus. But you know, I knew a couple one time, and they were friends with their neighbors, and their neighbors never really would talk much. But they invited them over to dinner, and they would talk with them some, you know. They didn't talk a lot, but they invited them to their dinner, at least about the Lord, and they were trying to reach them for the Lord. You know, and he was just impressed at the dinner table, you know. He said, well, we pray at our house, which is your house, you can pray, amen. But he just happened to pray the prayer, Lord, I know that John and Mary want to know you as their Savior, Lord. Help them, Lord. Receive you right now in their heart. They can believe in Jesus. And they never would say much to him. They've tried to talk to him about Jesus, but they just were not real open. But you know, he said, I knew in my heart. They just squeezed our hands. And we knew something in them was reaching out for God. Let's be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Amen. I'm a preacher. I can't help it. Sometimes we just got to tell people about Jesus. But, you know, we all do. We all want to share Jesus. Amen. Whether it's making the money to send people, whatever it may be. You know, if you're a great prayer warrior, hallelujah, and your part is mainly to pray. We're all to pray. We know that. We're also all to be those that reconcile others to Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I was going to read Ephesians 5 here. Let's see. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." Now that's interesting to me. This is in the book of Ephesians. You know, these people are born again. They were. He's talking to the Ephesian church. You know, praying in tongues. They know Jesus. But he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also," yes, "as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor." It says, "Walk in love as Christ also loved us." Whew, I get a little excited about that. As he loved us, he gave his all. He gave everything. He sacrificed his life. And we know all that. And I'm just reminding us right now in ways that love can manifest itself and to stir up that love. And we know that praying the Holy Ghost, we stir ourselves up. As he goes on to say, keeping yourselves in the love of God, doesn't it? Verse 24, Jude 24. Keeping ourselves in that love, praying in the Holy Ghost. But also by actively, on purpose, deciding, I'm going to walk in love to that person. He said, well, how would that work? Give me an example. I'll give you an example of my own life. There was a particular person that came to our church at one time, and they would not talk to me. As a matter of fact, if I ever even said hello, they would purposely turn their back to me, on purpose, right in front of me. Just turn her back, just like that. Just turn her back to me. Just turn her back. I said, Father, I made a decision. I said, God, I'm going to love that person. Why? Because obviously they have a problem. I mean, I'm just trying to say hello. But people have some major issues in their life. We know that. They have strongholds in their life. And sometimes we get so concerned, we're looking at our strongholds, but we're not looking at somebody else's. I'm not saying maybe that's a stronghold. No, no, no. I can't believe that person does that. You know, we get our words working against us. So I had to make a decision. I'm not going to say things about that person. I'm going to love that, Father. Father, help me, Holy Spirit. I'm going to love them. And I remember I was giving somebody else a ride home. I don't remember all the reasons why. They live close to the church, but I said, I'll give you a ride home real quick, yeah. And they were asking me about this person. And I said, I don't have anything to say. Well, won't you tell me, well, what do you think about so-and-so? I said, I don't. I said, I don't. I said, I love them. I'm going to choose to love. He said, well, was that easy? Well, no, I was tempted to say something, actually. Thought about it. But the Holy Ghost, who lives on the inside of me, that new nature rose up. Oh, I wouldn't, don't do that. Anybody ever overrode that anyway? You went ahead and did it? Why'd you do it? Same reason I've done it. Don't know. No, I just did it. But I didn't this time. I didn't say anything to her. And it's real important because that person came to me, believe it or not, and they said right to my face, you've been talking about me, haven't you? How many want to be able to tell the truth? No, I haven't. Amen? You want to be saying, no, I have not. And you know, when you speak the truth, she didn't yell at me. She didn't question me. She says, oh, okay. But see, the devil's a liar. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to stir your flesh so that you act ungodly. Amen. The Bible says man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. Anybody ever here got angry? Then you know when you got angry and it wasn't God's righteous anger, you know it did not bring about the righteous life that God desired. Amen? I've gotten angry before and I was not righteous. I was a bad witness. I remember when my wife and I bought the first car we ever owned. Talked to somebody and he said, "Oh yes, you qualify for a special interest rate, 15%, because you're new car buyers." You know, not a good idea. Hallelujah. But anyway, and that was somebody from the church. Praise the Lord. You know. You know, I put, then this is what they tell me. You know, I just put the numbers in there and somehow it came out okay. You passed. You qualify. Well, if I can get you at 15%, you might qualify too. You know, so I don't know. But anyway, we got that car paid off. Praise God. And drove it paid for a little while. But hallelujah. Now we got paid for cars. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But I wasn't walking in love toward him. We got that car and something happened to one of the tires and blew, you know, and I thought, you know, it says it's covered, you know, it's all under warranty. So I go and talk to him. "Well, sir, you didn't get the tire warranty." "Oh, really?" I thought it was covered under the warranty, from bumper to bumper. "That's not right. I'm telling you, and you want your own way. You think you're right. You're sure you're right." And then when he just quietly turns to the small print in the contract, your foolishness becomes evident. "Oh, I didn't realize it did say I have to get the tire warranty." You know, would you like to, you know, like Pastor Dave said, did you then lead him to Jesus? No, I didn't lead him to Jesus. I'm going to have to lay that to someone else because I lost my witness to him. He's not going to listen to me. I act the fool. You know, and the thing is when it comes to sometimes holidays and family, we know there's people that know you really good. They grew up with you or they lived with you. And they know what buttons to push to where you're supposed to act a certain way. Kind of play the devil's advocate in your life. You know, not that they're doing it purposely. I'm not saying that. But they'll say things that just, you know, the enemy knows that that'll try to set you off. So he talks to them. Amen. Those thoughts come to them. See, the devil wants to come try your ground. He wants us to lose our witness with those around. But when we stand in love and we stand tall, and we let that love have its way, it will speak volumes to all. People will say, "How can that be? That used to bother that person that way, but now I can say, and they don't seem like it bothers them at all." Love, love, love with the love of the Father, love with the love of God. It sets men free. Cause all men to see that you know someone that they need to know. They're drawn, you see. For love is the only thing that we can really have when we walk with him. When we spend time with him, it's love that fills us. When we spend time with the Father, it's that love that he's filling us. We're not spending time in prayer just to go somewhere and pray. It also has to do with reaching other people. Our life is an example. Our life is to be free. Our life is to have love in all things. When we're asked to clean the table or we see people, we know to do that. Help take the dishes back. Some people might not, but, you know, you go and help them. And we bless them. Why? Because we choose to love. We choose to walk in love. We choose to listen more than speak. We choose to hear. We allow them to have their way. We allow others to say, "Hey, let's do this. Let's play. Why not play a game? Why not have some fun? Why not relax? It's time to celebrate. It's time to enjoy. It's time to have the most wonderful time of the year. This is the time of love. It's the time that love came. It's the time that love came and produced the love nature in one man that came to set men free. And his love took him all the way to Calvary. You think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? Why did he spend time in the garden then? He spent time in the garden 3 hours talking to the Father. Is there any other way, Father? Is there any other way? I know I must go, but what is there another way? Is there anything we can do, Father, that's different? He sweat the drops of blood. I mean, you know, the Bible says you have not yet resisted sin to the shedding of blood. You know, we can resist to that point. Amen. And anything outside of love is really sin. Well, now, brother, we know we're not perfect. No, but we got the perfect one in us. Amen. And he says, be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How has he loved you? Unconditionally, completely, fully, with every good gift. Even when you weren't perfect, even when you got upset, even when you didn't feel like talking to him, he came and talked to you. Even when he didn't feel like it. I'm sure there's times Jesus was tired. We know he was. He spent the night in prayer and or even tried to get away. And here comes the multitudes. They were drawn to him because of love. But we're to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. And when we're walking in love, then the next things that he talks about, we're not going to be doing. Amen? He says, don't let fornication be named once among you. I mean, that's a, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go out and do those things. Fornicate, have uncleanness or covetousness. Not filthiness or foolishness. Foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. You know, I mean, it's sometimes we can get into fun so far that we forget. We got to keep loving people, you know. It's all right to have fun, you know, but sometimes in our fun, we hurt people. We say things that aren't quite right, you know. Maybe we're kidding, but they didn't realize it. So let's think about it. Think about what we're saying, amen? Think about love. What does love say? Love builds up. Love believes the best of every person, amen? Pays no attention to an evil suffered. But you just don't understand how terrible that was to me. No, I don't. I sure don't. But I know Jesus does. Amen? He does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He does. And that love which was... Let's go to Romans 8 real quick because we already had that. But that love that was shed abroad in our heart, let's not let it lie dormant. Amen? Let's let it be made known. It's made known in words. It's made known by actions. It's made known by kindness. It's made known by our gentleness. It's maybe just be made known by your listening. You know, you can learn a lot about people just listening. Amen. You know, I was listening to some people today and I thought, oh, okay. Now you kind of can understand. We have to sometimes, you have to learn to understand people for who they are and where they're coming from. Amen. You know, if they've had a terrible hardship in life, then you understand why maybe they're a little harder. They feel like they want to be in control because they don't know how to act because when they're out of control. When I don't have control, they don't know what to do and they become angry, get upset. Jesus said, even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I wasn't a very big sinner, yeah. We were all tragically lost. You know, even if you got saved at 3 years old, you're still tragically lost. You didn't have a Savior. You didn't have a Master. I've been saved most of my life, and I have. You know, I still remember when I was trying to figure out. I was 9 years old, I believe, and I can see my... I remember this so clearly. I think the law was working in me because I went to Sunday school, you know, and they tell you, you know, well, God knows what you say before you even say it. He knows what you're going to say, you know. And what I couldn't figure out is why doesn't he stop me then when I'm going to say something wrong, you know, a dirty word or something like that, and my mother wouldn't have to wash my mouth out with that soap every time, you know. So why didn't God stop me, you know? Isn't he all powerful? You know, I mean, this is 9 years old, not that, you know, so I think the law was working on my nature because I didn't really get born again until I was about 10 the next year or so. But I still remember that going on in my mind. I couldn't figure out why God, you know, if God knows what I'm going to say before I say it, then why don't you just stop me? Because he couldn't. My nature wasn't alive to him. All of my information is coming from the outside, the law. Don't say that. Okay. But I didn't stop myself. I didn't have the nature to do it. When I was born again, then those things begin to be pushed out from the righteousness of Christ. Amen? That love nature that I received on the inside begin to let those things go aside. Did you ever hear it? Yes. Did you ever say it? Yes, occasionally. But it wasn't my nature. It wasn't a part of me. It didn't, you know, become a part of me because I received Jesus as my Lord. And I chose not to do that. I remember when I was a little older, I was about 12 or 13, 12, I think, something like that. And one of the neighbor boys was, he was talking to my brother, and they wanted me to, you know, they were going to take me out to try drugs, you know, so that I could see how terrible it is and I won't want it. Did you go? No, I didn't go. I knew better than that. I said, I don't want drugs now. You know, what would make you think, you know, trying them, you know, doesn't make me not want them, you know. Not only that, I think what happened was is the neighbor boy got hooked on drugs because somebody thought he should try them, you know, but he really liked them. And then he couldn't quit. But he didn't have the nature to quit. And it dulls the pain. They're looking for love. Many people are looking for love. They're looking for that place in God. And I think people are hungrier for God than anything else. Many are love-starved. The world is love-starved. You know, well, there's a song. You know, love. We're not talking about worldly love. We're talking about the love of the Father. The love that is accepting. The love that is forgiving. The love that overlooks the fault. That doesn't take account of the evil done. I know there's a guy... He'd always be talking loud, and he just, you know. And I don't know why. I kind of liked the guy. I mean, he's just a likable person, you know, but he wasn't born again. I just said, you know, you'd make a great preacher. You know? I said, I really believe that. He said, you think so? I said, well, yeah. You can know Jesus, but you don't know what I've done. You have no idea what I've done. Said, no, I don't, but Jesus does, and he forgave it. Doesn't matter how bad it was, amen? Doesn't matter how terrible it was. Whether, like Pastor Dave says, maybe it was a Hitler or something like that. But we can think of other, you know, there's other things I think of, you know. People that do bad things to little girls. You know, and he didn't think he could be forgiven. I had a friend of mine that, he used to do that, but he got saved. Hallelujah. He got freed. He started drinking. His problem was, you know, I mean, his family was all heathen. Started drinking at the age of 4 years old. And I don't mean a little wine. I'm talking about whiskey. white lightning whiskey that they made themselves. He didn't have any teeth in his mouth by the time he was 18 years old. And he was the boy in the 11th grade. Ninth or 10th grade, he's the one that brought drugs into the school for the first time. They started passing out the drugs, you know. He was giving drugs to people, but in the 11th grade, his band teacher got a hold of him. His band teacher paid attention to him. He went with love. He let love have its perfect work. Started taking him to church. He heard the gospel for the first time and gave his heart to Jesus. Started winning the whole school to Jesus. Everybody in his grade knew Jesus. They knew he was the preacher. Hallelujah. He just went back to share Jesus. This is somebody who had some terrible things. You know, so love goes to the deepest valley. Amen. Goes to the highest mountain. It don't matter. Maybe they live up real high. See, I've had both sides in my life. I worked at the day center for the homeless, people that are down and out. I worked for Mrs. Fred Jones. She was up and out. But let's just decide. Everybody say it with me. Say, I am a loved child of a loved God. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I walk in love. I let love dominate me. I let that love nature dominate me. I love everybody because love lives in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see if he's got anything else. Thank you, Father. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm just listening for a minute. If you have pain in your body anywhere, just got pain in your body, why don't you just stand up where you are? You don't have to come down here, but just stand up. You got pain in your body. I want us to pray. I believe the Lord wants us to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We're just going to pray. Let's lift our hands up. He loves us. We know that. You already know he wants to heal you or has healed you 2,000 years ago. Paid the price for it. And we've received it, Father. Many times over. Maybe you've been prayed for 100 times, but it doesn't matter. God's here right now. Hallelujah. The presence of God. Father, we thank you that love is more than enough, Father. The God of love. We're asking you right now, Father, I'm asking you to move by your Spirit. Take the pain. Pain, I command you to go. Leave now in Jesus' name. I command you to leave these bodies. May the root cause be healed now in Jesus' name. I command you, body, be normal. Body, be whole. Recreate anything that's necessary, Father. I command pain to go in Jesus' mighty name right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There we go. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody had knee pain? God's healing you. Hallelujah. Right now. Amen. Pain in the joints. I believe it's gone. Come on. Hallelujah. Move that part. Move it around. Praise the Lord. Let's give him glory. Amen. Let's just lift our hands. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing during this holiday season. And Father, if there's anybody that's in the sound of my voice that needs to know you, may they come to Jesus, Father, that they can know that Jesus is the true and the living God, that we'll be witnesses for you this year, that Father, we'll be extra sensitive in our heart to other people, looking for opportunities that love can make a difference and can draw people, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We give you the glory, Father. All right. Anybody wants prayer, come forward. And you're dismissed if you want to go home. You're free. You're free, in other words. Hallelujah.